sit back, relax, and open that mind. You are now tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot.
You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Welcome one, welcome all of my parapatriots. Welcome to this week's show. Thank you for joining me on this week's show. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, my name is Tom Velasquez. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. So before we begin the show, I want to go over something because it was a really rough week. Honestly, it was a pretty interesting week for the Paranormal Patriot. A couple things happened this week that I want to talk to you about. But to start with, I know on last week's show I said I wanted to talk about Agenda 2020, Agenda 2030, which is essentially the same thing, only souped up, and Bill Gates' ID 2020. Well, that was the plan until I posted last week's show. Now, if you're a listener of this show all the time and you listen to last week's show, you know it revolved around the fact that the governors around the country that are still keeping their states closed are overextending their authority and their power, and they don't care. Well, in these states, people are starting to fight back, and they're opening shops, they're breaking the quote-unquote laws, and I told people to keep doing it. Fight for your right to exist. Fight for your right to be able to prosper in this country. I also mentioned how the Michigan militia was camped outside of Carl Mankey's barbershop in Owosso in case the police tried to arrest him. So I went with that on the show, and it was a very well-received show, and I'm going to give a lot of credit to the people that just chastised me and ridiculed me and went off on me on Facebook. Now, when I'm on Facebook, I post my show, and then I have about 15 to 20 podcasting sites that I post it to, and it works out well because, I've met a lot of great people, made a lot of great friends via these pages on Facebook. But it also gains exposure to the show, so it's added a lot of listeners and a lot of followers. Well, normally every week I get a couple. You know, somebody gives me a laughy face. Oh, you're an idiot. Come on. But this week was different, and this past week struck me pretty hard. I was troubled on Sunday and Monday. So I posted the show, and all of a sudden people start reacting to it. And it started off really well. People were like it. They gave me the thumbs up, gave me a smiley face. A couple people said basically what I was saying on the show, that this is ridiculous, it needs to stop. And then it was just a tsunami of negative, hateful. I mean, absolutely hateful. I was called an alt-right fascist, a Nazi, a baby killer. I'm not sure where baby killer comes in, but somebody called me a baby killer. And there was... It was just nonstop. People are telling me that I'm an idiot, that what I'm doing is extremely irresponsible. I'm promoting violence. I'm not promoting violence. I'm telling you to stand up for your rights. But there was this one guy, and I Facebook stalked him. I'm not gonna deny that, just to see who he was. And he is a raging left-wing libtard. I mean, that's the only way I can put it. And he just went off, F you, you Nazi, F you, I hope you die of this coronavirus. It was insane. And Finally, the administrator of the page jumped in on a comment and was talking to this one guy and said, hey, knock off the language. You may not agree with what he says, but he has every right to say it. He's broken no rules. So I'm like, finally, somebody with common sense is listening to reading these comments. So I sent the administrator back a message saying, hey, thank you so much for kind of putting this under control, because when I'm doing this, I don't respond negatively. You know, I'll be like, hey, thanks for the comment. If you don't like it, don't have to listen, but thanks for commenting. But this, I sent the administrator a message back saying, hey, thanks for kind of putting this under control. I don't like getting into conversations like this over Facebook. Honestly, my opinion is if you don't like what you're reading, scroll by. Thanks again. So I'm thinking, cool, we're good. The administrator comes back and he says, that's a load of BS, Tom. He does not have to stop, or he does not have to scroll by. He can stop and he can say his piece. If you don't like it, then maybe you need to leave this page. And I was a little taken aback there. I'm like, so I'm thinking to myself, well, this just went from crap to just a mountain of crap in a hurry. So I messaged the administrator back and I said, hold on. I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to say his piece. If he wants to, that's fine. I said, look at the other comments. There are so many other people that disagree with me, and I don't say anything. Or if I do, I just say, hey, thanks. I appreciate your opinion. If you want to listen to the show, listen to it. There's more to it than just the liner notes. But this guy chose to not only disparage me and disagree with me, but he was calling me every name in the book. I said everybody's entitled to their opinion, but I feel it can be, if it can't be made without ridiculing, calling people names, or questioning whether or not they should be alive, maybe the comment shouldn't be made. And then the original jackass comes in. F you, you piece of S, you need to die. I hope you die of the coronavirus. So then the administrator comes back on. He sends a message to the original guy. Watch the language, or you're gone. And that guy goes back to the administrator. Effing ban me then. This page is trash. I don't give a crap. If you're going to let someone spew out their Nazi fascist views, I don't need to be here. And then again, the guy comes back. I may not agree with it either, but he has every right to be here. So I thought it was done. I'm thinking, okay, we're done. Just move on. Then the administrator comments back to me. You are an ultimate piece of crap. Didn't use those words, but you know what he used. For you to post that stuff on my page is a joke. You are lucky I don't ban you. I have scoured my rules to find out what rule you have broken, and unfortunately, you have not broken any. He then went on to say that he is going to change the rules, that if there's any hate speech, the person will automatically be banned, and that would qualify as hate speech. And I wrote back. I said, listen, I don't need to be on this page if you don't want me to. I use this page because there are a lot of people on this page that do agree with my views, and I've made a lot of friends through this page, and I get a lot of listeners through this page. But if you are going to censor me because it does not agree with your views, then I don't really need to be here. And he came back. I'm not censoring you because of your views. I'm censoring you because of your hate speech. So then I replied, but if it was a Democratic-themed show where I said, like Maxine Waters, if you see a Trump supporter, confront them. Make it difficult for them, that would be okay. He says, this has nothing to do with politics. I disagree. So that was basically my beginning of the week. I just absolutely was trashed on Facebook. But ironically, I gained a bunch of different followers. And here's my issue. My issue with this whole thing. Well, let me back up a little bit. I find it funny how right now, this coronavirus is a joke. It's not nearly as bad as they say it is. We need to open things up, and I get just lambasted because I feel that way. But in the first couple of episodes that I did about the coronavirus, I was talking about how deadly it's going to be, how we're really, really going to be hurting, and how we need to be safe and healthy and stay vigilant. And it was the other end of the spectrum. I mean, complete 180 degree from each other. In the amount of hate mail and hate hate posts that I received on that was just as much. We all remember the story I told you about the guy that was telling me how stupid I am and how much of a fearmonger I am and how much I'm perpetuating lies and falsehoods and conspiracies and I'm an unethical person. And by the way he was treating me and using the words that this other guy did but didn't get banned, this guy got banned from essentially every podcasting promotion page on Facebook. Now, Facebook can be a joke. I get that. The censorship, the fact-checking, which they'll only fact-check things that go against their views, and some of their fact-checks are way wrong, but it does serve a purpose. And for those of us in the podcasting community, it serves a good purpose. I mean, again, I'm on 15 to 20 pages that promote my show that are seen by tens of thousands of people every week. Now, not all of them listen, but my listenership keeps going up as I keep adding these pages. So this guy that was banned from all these podcasting Facebook pages, that takes a hit. But I found it funny that no matter what side of the spectrum I go on, I'm getting ridiculed either way. And the way I was treated this past week and how really few people were able to say they stood up for me was pretty disheartening. And this is what I've said before, and this needs to change. It seems like the Democrats, the Green Deal, the Communists, the Socialists, they know how to rile people up. They know how to organize and start essentially a movement. We as conservatives, we as Republicans, we love our freedoms, we deserve our freedom type people, we aren't like that. You know, I had so many likes that they liked those posts. And I can count on one hand, the number of people that gave me a positive comment. In my whole family of five, I don't have enough hands and toes and fingers and anything to count the amount of negative comments. We as people of the right, people for our freedoms, for the people, we need to learn, and we need to learn it pretty quick, how to stand up for one another. I was really disheartened by the lack of people that, and it's not just my listeners, I'm going to tell you, it's across the board. We as a people just don't make a stink. We don't want to raise our voice. We don't want to get anybody upset at us. And the left, that's what they do well, and they do it well. And that's why these kids in college, these younger teenagers or middle teenagers that are looking for a purpose, they're at that age where they're looking for a purpose, they're going to go to the loudest crier. They're going to go to the loudest group, and the group is the Democrats. That's why we're losing them, because we are going to let our schools indoctrinate kids. We are going to let TV, the media, indoctrinate us and tell us what we need to think. And for those of us that are older, are able to think for ourselves, we can see the difference. The younger generation can't. They don't understand how the world works. And for us to sit here and just let it happen and to, I don't know, I guess let somebody take a blow after blow after blow and not say anything. Say, hey, you know, ease up. There's some truth to what he's saying. I'm not saying everything I say is true because there's a lot of unknowns out there, but it was really disheartening. And we as a group of the right for the people, or even those of us, even Democrats, that want us to open back up so we can get back to work, we really need to learn how to step up and make our voice heard, because we do a horrible job of it. I don't ever, it's not in my nature to brag. I don't brag about myself because I don't feel I'm that special that I need to brag. But I go on this show every week and I preach some very, very controversial topics, knowing that half of the people are not going to like what I say. I know I'm going to get grief for it. I get that. Even my wife said, you know, because she saw how upset I was on Monday when I was just getting lambasted all day at work. All I'm hearing on my phone, ding, 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 that's a notification from Facebook. Somebody responded, and they're just going off on me. And I keep waiting. waiting for somebody to come on and say, hey, don't worry about it, man. And I had two people all Monday come on and say, hey, one person had a great line. Don't let the Karens of the world bother you. They're just out there to spout and cause trouble. But my wife saw how upset I was, and she's like, why are you so upset? And I said, because it sucks to be constantly ridiculed and called what I was called and told they want me to have what they want to have happen to me and not have any support. She says, you knew what you were getting into. You knew when you did that show that it was going to be a very polarizing show and people were going to have a lot of opinions. I said, and I get that. I do. I get that people, it's a 50-50 endeavor here. But the problem is, it was a 90-10 endeavor. The other 40% of the people that supported it don't have the time to say anything. Why is it that the people that speak the loudest are the ones that get all the news? Because they're the ones that are heard. We can do a lot. As I say, I go on this show every week and preach controversial topics that people are going to be very sensitive about. And again, I hate bragging, but it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of hits to the pride and to who I am to sit there and just get filleted every week. And I'll be honest, this past week really hit me hard. It hit me to the point that I really questioned what I was doing on this show. And then I just said, you know, I have a duty. I have a duty that I've been doing for 7 years. That is to wake people up. I may not be able to change a lot of you. I probably won't. That are the ones that don't agree with me, it takes a lot to change your mind. If this coronavirus thing with the numbers and how the deaths are calculated and how the numbers are being manipulated, if this doesn't prove to these people that this is all a game, this is all a political planned hoax, nothing's going to. I mean, it's right in front of their face. They just don't want to see it. But for me to come out here every week and preach this and say, hey, this is how it is. I know I'm going to piss half of you off. I hope that the half that doesn't like it, I hear from them, and I hope I hear from the half that do. I mean, like buttons are nice, but when you read the comments and you see yours truly getting absolutely filleted and absolutely roasted, it'd be nice to have a comment saying, hey, keep it up, man. You're doing good. So that was the one thing that happened to me this week. The other thing, and this is another personal thing. So last Saturday, my wife and I went for a walk around the neighborhood. And as we're walking, we hear our names being yelled. And we look over, and there's friends of ours that are sitting on their deck around a fire. And we hear them, come on over, have a drink. So we're like, you know what? We're done with this social distancing thing. We might as well. So we go there, and we're sitting around the little fire pit having a drink, and then we go inside when it went to get a little cold, or started to get a little cold, and we were in there about 20 minutes and decided to go home. Well, the neighbor lady that we hung out with is having shoulder surgery that Wednesday, so she has to go get a coronavirus test to make sure she doesn't have coronavirus. We get a call from her, or my wife does, on Monday, all hysterical. Oh my God, I just tested positive for coronavirus. I don't know how, but I'm positive for coronavirus. So I'm like, oh my God, have we been exposed? Does it matter? Because I think we've already had it, but what do I do with the people at work? So I told the guys at work, and they're like, I don't know. Do you have any symptoms? I'm like, no, I feel fine. Like, don't worry about it. There's a lot of false positives out there, and until you start showing symptoms, just be extra careful. So she had to go back the next day to get a second test. And she calls later on that afternoon and says, oh my gosh, my second test came back negative. I don't have it. And I'm like, there you go, false positive. So then she called the next day and said, hey, I need to reschedule the shoulder surgery that got put off from 2 months ago when this whole pandemic thing started. I need to get this done. My shoulder's killing me. So the nurse that answered the phone pulls up her file and says, well, we can't do this. You're positive for coronavirus. She says, no, I had a test yesterday, and it came back negative. And this is where my whole thing about how the numbers are fudged comes in. So she would have had two tests. In her file, which she had a copy of, it told her that she tested positive on the first one. The second one was negative. The nurse says, no, you've only had one test. And the results came back this morning that you're positive. She says, no, I've had two tests. I had a test Monday and I had a test Tuesday. The first one came back positive. The second one came back negative. And she says, no. In your file, I'm reading your file right now. You had a test yesterday and the results came back today that you are positive. We can't do surgery on you right now. And she says, wait a minute. I need a copy of that file. Scan that copy of my file and send it to my email. They did. Every note prior to that morning in her file, the original test on Monday, the secondary test on Tuesday, and all the notes that were in there are gone. Somebody went in, erased her file, and put that she is positive for coronavirus. So this woman is rightfully so pretty pissed. She's like, what is going on? Who was in my file? Nobody was in your file, ma'am. She says, I'm looking at my original file here, and it has all the notes from the two tests I've taken. Now the file you sent me only shows that I've ever taken one test. I know that I've had two coronavirus tests. Nobody can explain it. I'll get back to you. I got to look into this. Of course, they never got back with her, and this is now Sunday. So the weird thing is, if that wasn't weird enough, when she first tested positive, she had to call, or the health department called her, because anybody that tests positive gets, boom, directed right to the health department, and they call. And she mentioned, and she didn't want to mention our names, thank God, but she said, they asked her, were you around anybody? And she's like, man, over the last 2 weeks, I can't tell you. Well, was it inside or outside? Were you around anybody? She said it would have been outside. So this is what the health department, the Michigan Health Department, told her about the coronavirus. If you're outside, the chances of contracting coronavirus fall immensely. They mentioned to her if she had been in contact with anyone and they were inside, as long as you are not inside with one another more than 20 minutes, the odds of you contracting the coronavirus are severely lessened. And then, this is the one that I can't figure out. The woman at the health department told my neighbor that every time somebody passes it to somebody else, in other words, if her husband was on the work site and contracted the coronavirus, he can pass it on to his wife. Now, for his wife to pass it on to anybody else, because it's already been passed on, the chances of giving it to somebody else are lessened. In other words, it loses its contractability as it goes from person to person to person. That's coming from the Michigan Department of Health. So if that's the case, again, Michigan Department of Health, a government-run organization, if every time this virus gets passed on, it loses some luster, why are we not out in front of each other? That would be the easiest way to rid this virus. Look, you got it. You give it to this one. The chances of giving it to someone else are lessened. If you do, that chance is lessened to the next person, and so forth. This is coming from the Michigan Department of Health, everybody. Why are we not being told this? Instead, we're holed up. Our businesses are shut down. Let it out. Yes, people will get sick. Every year, people get sick. Every year, people die of the flu. Why is this one so much worse? And the other thing I noticed this week is I've stopped wearing masks to stores. You know what? If I walk in and they say, sir, you need a mask, I'm walking out and we'll never be back. But the looks you get from these people wearing masks are ridiculous. They look at you with such disdain. But in the meantime, they have their homemade masks that they have made that they're putting around their face. Half of these people are not covering their nose. Half of them, when they talk, they pull the mask down. But It's all in the mind. They're wearing their mask. It's a good thing. They're safe. And they look at the ones that don't wear masks like they're a leper. That I can't believe you're putting me in harm's way. You know how many people I've seen just the other day at work? I told my family this. I watched somebody drive up into our parking lot wearing a mask. And we've got our lobby closed off and we've got the window open. There's a window right to the right of the door that we work out. It's kind of like a drive-through window, but you walk up to it. And this person, as they drove up, was wearing a mask in their car, which makes absolutely no sense to me. None whatsoever. And as they were getting out of the car, the mask comes off. What is the point? And people, if you are one of those that feel you have to wear a mask and you're wearing these homemade cloth masks, they're not working. You might as well be like Alyssa Milano and put your crocheted mask on. It's not working. It's there to make you feel better. And if you are going to look at somebody who doesn't wear a mask with disdain, that they are going to hurt you, that they are going to spread it, think about this. You're wearing your mask. That should be enough protection, should it not? Why do I have to wear a mask if you're wearing a mask? And that's my whole point about this shutdown and this closure of everything. Look, if a mask is going to keep us safe, wear it. You're safe. The CDC has just come out and said, well, it doesn't appear that the coronavirus is as easily spread on surfaces as we once thought. So this whole 9 days on metal or plastic or whatever it was, 3 days on cardboard, it can survive and it's easily transmittable. Nope, that's not the case. And again, that goes back to my point of we have no idea what is going on. These models we had where there were millions of dead, hundreds of millions infected. Oh, those weren't right. These models that keep having to go down because the numbers don't match up. These people that say, you can't wear a mask, don't wear a mask. And then they say, you have to wear a mask. And then it's don't wear a mask. And it's 9 days on plastic, 3 days on cardboard. You can't touch it or else you'll contract it. Nope. All of this is proving false. And every time they prove something, all it proves is that this is not as contagious and as deadly as we were once told. But yet, here in Michigan, yes, she's opened up the UP and Northern Michigan. Governor Whitmer opened up bars and restaurants to a certain amount of people at a certain amount of time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that she opened up Northern Michigan is because Traverse City is in Northern Michigan. And this past weekend was her daughter's graduation party up in Traverse City. We're not stupid. We know that there was a huge turnout for her daughter's graduation. Even though the rest of us in this state can only do 10 people in one place at one time. She, on the other hand, can have as many people as she wants. It's a perfect scenario of do as I say, not as I do. Now, Tom Barrett is a politician here in Michigan, and he posted, and it is being proven to be factual, that there was a company up in the Traverse City area that basically they put your boats in the water for the summer. And because they were 2 months behind and there's a backlog, a certain gentleman called and said, hey, we really need our boat in for the weekend. Can you push me up? And the guy's like, no, we can't. And the caller's response was, well, what if I told you that I'm the governor's husband? And this is the best line. The guy that owns the company says, well, I guarantee you, you're last on the list at that point. And this just goes, you know, she is able to do whatever she wants. Be damned the people. I'm going to do what I want. But you guys have to shelter in place and you have to keep your businesses closed. I don't understand it. And ladies and gentlemen, more and more and more people are defying their governor's orders and opening, knowing that they can't arrest you or cite you all, because more and more of these counties and cities, police departments are like, we're not doing it. The only department that seems to be following the governor's orders to cite and arrest people is the state police. Now, this past week, right on the Capitol lawns was Operation Haircut. And basically what it was a bunch of hairdressers and barbers that went on the grounds of the Capitol building, and hundreds of people came there to get haircuts for no charge. And there's numerous videos of the state police giving people disorderly conduct citations. It's just, listen, if you're a police officer, I love you to death. Thank you for everything you do. But you took an oath to protect and serve. You are not protecting us, nor are you serving us. You are serving a governor. To all the people, well, I'll use that as my deep thought for the day. I'll use that because that one really hits home for me and it should hit home for you. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how strange things are on the planet today. Things are happening that are unprecedented, and a lot of people say this is the beginning of the end, and they may be right. We're going to hear some new strange trumpet noises in the sky, and then we're going to hear about a pastor that says, yes, we are in the end times. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. Looking back, I knew I never would be. Sometimes life has a way of changing your story and bending your shape. You've heard him on the show. Now listen to his show. You've listened to Jay Miles on The Paranormal Patriot expounding knowledge to you, the listener. Now listen to this knowledge on his own show, Vanishing Gates. If you're a fan of true crime, the paranormal, the supernatural, you owe it to yourself to listen to the Vanishing Gates podcast with Jay Miles. If you love true crime, if you are obsessed with the paranormal or supernatural, you will not go wrong when you listen to Vanishing Gates. So it's no mystery that around the world, strange things are happening. We've had the volcanoes erupting all over the planet, earthquakes, large earthquakes, and earthquakes in areas that normally don't receive earthquakes. We've got famine. We've got swarms of locusts in Africa. We've got the coronavirus. We've got things going on that would make anybody that's ever read the Bible say, holy cow, we're in the end times. Well, some people do believe we are in the end times. Now, before we get into this part of the show, I'm going to talk about the Bible and the trumpets of the apocalypse, of Revelation. And I want to set the record straight here. If you've listened to the show for a while, you know that when I talk about God, I don't talk about God as an ever-loving father. I talk about God as the universe. I talk about mysticism, I talk about the occult, I talk about metaphysics and esoterics. And I've struggled for years with God. I really have. It started when my wife was getting very sick, because deep down I knew that this was not good. And for those of you that are new to the show, and not that I want to want your pity or anything, but in 2017, my wife was diagnosed with stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer. And it has metastasized into her liver, and she is non-curable. She will not survive this. She has been going on 3 years. For the first 2 years, she was doing phenomenal, and it's been about a year that she's really struggling. She just last night said, I'm tired of hurting. I just need to just be relieved of this pain. And when she was diagnosed, I really seriously started to question how a loving God could let a young mother with young kids who would do anything for anyone, how he could put her in this situation. To me, a loving God who loves his children wouldn't do that. I mean, I walk around and I see people that are absolute trash that wouldn't do anything for anybody walk out on their families, beat their kids that are living great lives. And then I have my wife who would do anything for anybody, has done major, multiple things for other people, and has three young kids that love her and need her. And he inflicts cancer on her. I seriously questioned how a loving God can do that. So I'm not going to deny that my faith hasn't been shaken big time. I grew up believing in God. I grew up praying to Jesus. I did. And all that changed in June of 2017. I couldn't look at it like that. Well, this past 2 weeks, well, we've known for about a month now that my wife has had a growth on one of her ovaries. And she had an ultrasound, and the doctor said, I don't know what that is. It may be cancer. And if it was cancer, that's bad. Because the type of cancer my wife has, she is considered extreme high risk for surgery. Because when the type of cancer she has, it emits a hormone, and it can kill you. And stress and bodily stress induces that hormone. And that's why she takes monthly shots to reduce the amount of hormone that these tumors are secreting. And if she had cancer, A, that means it's spread, and B, it's a very good likelihood that for us to remove it would have basically killed her. She wouldn't have made it off the table. And we waited 2 weeks, and I started praying again. And I asked God, I said, you know, I'm extremely angry at you. I don't trust that you are who you say you are. And it pained me to say that. And I hate saying I made an ultimatum, but I guess I did. I said, look, if you make this not cancer, if you make this just a benign mass that they can go in laparoscopically with 10-minute surgery, as least amount of stress as possible, we can talk. And I basically bargained with them. And I prayed. And everybody we knew prayed. And we waited. And we waited. And we waited. I understood that during this COVID-19 crisis that all the other lab results were probably taking a back burner. Well, this past Thursday at 4:30, my wife gets a call from the doctor's office, and the receptionist says the doctor would like to have a consultation via video with you at 9:30 Friday morning. And my wife is like, well, hold on. I've been waiting 2 weeks. I haven't slept. You got to tell me. I can't do this. I can't go another night knowing that I have to have a conference call with this guy on video to tell me whether or not I have cancer that's going to kill me. And the receptionist knew nothing, and we get that. So we spent Thursday not sleeping. We're up bright and early on Friday and just waited and waited and waited. And I prayed, and I prayed hard, and I just kept bargaining. Listen, you make this a good thing, and I'll come back. I can't have her go right now. And we got that call, and they did blood work, and there was a very, very, very low risk that that mass is cancerous. And it goes to show you the power of prayer, because when she was first diagnosed, I mean, literally, the first doctor that diagnosed her, she was diagnosed June 27th, 2017. The first doctor that diagnosed her said, if you make it to Labor Day, it's a miracle. That's how bad everybody was telling us it was. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed for a miracle, because everything that we were reading, everything that we were told from all these doctors said, if it's stage four, there's no chance, and you're not going to stay long. And we got to the cancer specialist down at Carmanos in Detroit and found out it's a very rare form of cancer. And that form of cancer is a slow-growing cancer. Honestly, she's probably had this cancer for 10, 15 years. We believe it was found in 2010, and the doctor just blew it off. But we prayed. We prayed during this whole thing, and she did amazing. And then I think the prayers kind of tailed off because everybody, you know, you look at Michelle, my wife, and she doesn't look sick. She works out 3-4 times a week. She looks good, but she hides it really well. And I think the prayers were slowing down because she's really, really struggling right now. She's in a lot of abdominal pain. Of course, the mass in her pelvic area is bothering her. We have to get that removed if the doctor will allow it. But I just want to tell you that because I've gone through the emotions of growing up, believing in God, totally turning my back on him, and then having him reaffirm his faith because we may be living in the end times. I've told you before that strange things are happening and we can't understand what is going on in this world. There are strange things happening, and a lot of people think that this is the beginning of Revelations. Well, there's a pastor out there who says, yes, this is the beginning of Revelations. And the reason I'm telling you, hey, one pastor, okay, he's got his opinion, but the way he goes about looking at this, it's completely different than anything I've heard, and I want you to hear about this. But before we get into that, I want to play for you a couple of the new strange sounds in the sky. And if you've never heard these, if you're new to this show and you've never heard these sounds, these are videos. In picture in your mind, the video of just somebody scanning the sky. And it's a sometimes cloudy, sometimes clear, sometimes partly cloudy day, sometimes night. But there is a definitive sound in that sky that nobody has been able to identify what it is. And everybody in some of these videos or some of these audio clips you're going to hear, there are people in awe just asking, what is that? Where is that coming from? Because it comes from all around you, but it's coming from above whoever's recording this. So here is the first one. These are all fairly new. Within the last half of 19, early part of 2020, tell me if you've heard these, if these sound familiar, which they should, or B, if you've never heard these sounds, tell me what you think it could be. First one right here. Eerie sound was recorded in the middle of the day, partly cloudy. You can see the blue sky, fluffy clouds, and in someone's backyard. Tell me, what could that be? If that doesn't sound like trumpets or who knows what it is. It's eerie, and it sounds a lot like what we've heard before. And here's another one. Now, as you hear this, make sure you listen to who's recording this because they are as dumbfounded as anyone else that's hearing this. Listen to this.
What on earth? What?
Now, you can hear genuine fear in the person recording this voice. What on earth? What is that? And the dog in the background, that's, you can hear that whimpering a little. And then as it's going out a little, the person recording it, it kind of fearful. Is like, come on, come on back. What is that? You know, part of it sounded like a bad 1950s sci-fi sound effect. Now, this next one was recorded on a beautiful sunny day. It was either in this person's backyard or front yard, and there's a huge tree in the frame. And you don't hear anything right away at first, and then it almost sounds like maybe a siren starting. But the way it ends is not like a siren ends. It doesn't kind of just drone down. It kind of just fades, like it's moving away. Some people, when I played it for them, said, gosh, it sounds like a big guy, giant, big giant singing. Listen to this. It just kind of fades, like it's moving away, but it's still there. To me, it almost sounds mechanical in a way, but then again, it doesn't. I'm not quite sure what to make of that one. So those are just a couple of the newer strange noises in the sky that I've come across that have been sent to me and I found on the internet. And listen, they are odd. They are very, very odd, and I have no idea what they are. If you've heard them, let me know. If you think you have an idea of what they are, let me know. But if you have thoughts, let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Now, before we go this week, I want to talk to you about the pastor that believes that we are actually in the beginning of the end times. Now, I know there's a lot of pastors out there that say, oh, everything that happens is the end times. You know, it's the beginning of the end. This one doesn't just look at Revelations. It brings into play another aspect of the Bible that brings a little bit of clarity to the whole situation and makes me look at this a little differently than I did at first. So this comes from endtimeheadlines.org, and the name of the article is Pastor Claims First Trumpet from the Book of Revelation is About to be Blown. Now, a pastor is sounding the alarm that the first trumpet from the book of Revelation is about to be sounded, and we are currently witnessing the silence before the storm, according to a recent piece from the Express. Now, as you know, the book of Revelation is the final book of the Bible in the New Testament. In that book, seven trumpets are sounded, one at a time, that unleash apocalyptic events witnessed and spoken by John of Patmos in his vision. According to Revelation chapter 8, the angels of the Lord sound these trumpets after the breaking of the seventh seal, which secured the scroll of the apocalypse, marking the second coming of Christ. Within the devastating and destructive events surrounding the world, including the coronavirus and locust plague on the African continent in the Middle East, some have theorized that these events could actually be the four horsemen of Revelation chapter 6. Now, these four horsemen were sent to cause famine and plague, and some believe that they are coming to fruition right before our eyes. However, Pastor John Barnett is claiming that we are now living in what he has dubbed the silence before the storm, in which we will see the first trumpet of Revelation 8 sounded in the near future. That trumpet will be a devastating event that will literally wipe out one-third of Earth's trees, a promise in which he believes was proved in the book of Exodus. Now, in a recent video that he uploaded last month, the pastor stated, "The doctrine starts in verse 7. The first angel sounds, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood." Now, for those of you who know your Bible, you know that sounds an awful lot like Exodus chapters 7 through 10, which deals with the plagues of Egypt. In chapters 7 through 10 of Exodus, God was judging the Egyptians because they had their false gods. He was saying, those gods aren't real. Well, according to Pastor John Barnett, God is doing the same thing here. He sends down hail and fire mingled with blood, and look what happens. Pastor Barnett claims that the events that we've seen recently were merely a warning from God for humans trying to save the planet and not themselves. But dire consequences are coming. He went on to say that today everything is going green, and it's good. We shouldn't waste. It's wrong to waste. But the go green is almost a reflection of the Mother Earth save the planet idea. No, save the people. He states the planet is hopelessly heading for destruction. Save the people. There's almost a worship of nature. Pastor Barnett says, if a third of the trees are burned up and all the green grass, these speak of life and signs of life. They provide food, shelter, and shade. But God says to the world, if you do not worship me, if you worship the earth, then your food, your life, and your comfort, I'll show you that I'm the only one who is the giver and sustainer of life. Pastor Barnett went on claiming that there are many ways that the first trumpet could come, with one being a huge volcanic eruption. He continued, so God lets loose a gazillion things that could cause this. Have you seen all these volcanoes? If one of those break loose, that superheated water vapor going up into the atmosphere, and a third of the trees could get burned up. That's coming. This is literal. It doesn't mean something else. God already did this in Egypt. He burned up and killed their animals, their crops. God is speaking. What a warning. What a wake-up call. People are listening, and God will save people in the tribulation. So the question is, are we living in end times? I mean, you have to look at the world today and say things are pretty strange. Swarms of locusts, coronavirus, volcanoes, earthquakes, strange sounds in the sky, strange lights in the sky. Things are happening at an accelerated pace. If you are a Bible-believing, God-fearing individual, I guarantee you have thought we may be in the end times. I don't personally think we are. And it's not a knock against God or Revelation or the Bible. I just don't think we are. Here is my view. I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. I don't call him Jesus. I call him Yeshua. And I call God Jehovah. The letter J in the world, in the history of the world, is only 500 years old. So 500 years ago, Jesus was not a name. Yeshua is his name. So when I pray to Yeshua. I pray to Jehovah because there's no J when they were around. But I believe in Yeshua and Jehovah. I do. I really, truly do. I've believed in them all my life. Even in my dark times, I've just chose to turn my back to them. But the power of prayer, and if you ask and you sincerely ask in your heart, there's a very good chance that it will happen. My wife is not going to get cured of cancer, but I didn't ask for that. But here's what we've got. We've got strange things happening in the planet, on the planet, around the planet. Asteroids buzzing us all day, every day. the Bible talks about wormwood. Is wormwood an asteroid that comes in and smashes into the planet and poisons all the water supplies of the world? Possibly. We've seen unprecedented forest fires. We've seen earthquakes, large earthquakes. We've seen tsunamis. We've seen earthquakes in places that normally do not get earthquakes. We've seen volcanoes going off constantly. We've seen strange lights in the sky. We've heard strange sounds in the sky. Something is going on. Is it revelation? I don't think so. I really, truly don't. Is it going to be safe to prepare for it? Absolutely. That's what is the smart thing to do. Prepare for the worst and hope for the best. But there's no denying things are happening. You have to realize, though, that this coronavirus pandemic, while there is a virus out there, was blown way out of proportion. It shouldn't nearly have been as bad as it's been made out to be. So we can disregard that, but there's no denying that things are happening. But I do not think at this moment that the revelation is upon us. And you never know. If you are a believer in the rapture, in the blink of an eye, the rapture could occur. So I guess be ready. It took me a long time to get to this point. And I'm not going to say that the universe still doesn't hold a key. It doesn't. It still does to me. I believe you are your own destiny. I truly believe that we are energy, and you can call it the spirit. You can call it the soul. We may go to heaven, and we may just roam the universe and the galaxies and go wherever we want. Who knows? It may be reincarnation or parallel dimension. I don't know. But be prepared. So to end the show, I'm going to end it with the deep thought of the week, and this is dedicated to those who feel the need to shelter in place, but on top of that, feel the need to look down on those who are not sheltering in place. For those of you who are sheltering in place and looking down on those that want to go out and live their life, I have one question for you. How does it feel to be controlled by your government? You have one government that has no idea who you are, what you need, what you're going through, but yet they feel that they can tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and you are blindly following them. You were created as a free individual with rights that give you the ability to have free will. You have a right to live your life how you want to live it, as long as you are not hurting other people. You have a right to prosper. You have a right to laugh. You have a right to be happy, and you have a right to be free. No government can take that right away from you. But yet there are many, many of you out there that are more than willing to let the government absolutely control how you are living your life. And you are mocking those who don't want the government to control their lives, because they know they are born free. They know they have a right to live and enjoy life. So with that in mind, don't be controlled by your government, because your government has no right to control you. You are letting one entity, one person, the governor of this country, tell you how to live your life. That should scare you. That should terrify you. But for many of you, it's a way of things. It's the way to do things. The government knows best. No, it doesn't. The government does not know best. You know what's best for you. And until you realize that, you will always be a part of the problem. Don't let the government control you. Be an individual. Have a free will, have a free mind, and make your own decisions. If you choose to shelter in place, make it to be your own decision. But don't look down upon those that are not wearing masks at their stores and that are not sheltering in place, because those individuals realize that we were born and were created to be free and to be everything we can try to be. If we want to do anything, we have the option to do so. If you want to be scared, you have every right to be scared. But know that you are an individual and you are born free. You cannot look at your government as the God in the all-being. We already have that. Make a choice. It's up to you. Are you going to be who you are or who the government wants you to be? That's the deep thought from the Paranormal Patriot. Alrighty, so that'll be the show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Keep those emails coming. Keep those show requests. Hey, if you liked Jim and Mike's podcast piece at the beginning of the show every week, if you want anything promoted, all you have to do is record something like that. Bam, it's on the show. Easy as that. I'm working on Jay Miles to get his own piece on here so you don't have to hear me talk about him. So thank you for listening to this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week.